This is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me as we explore the music of trumpeter Miles Davis. In the next three episodes of Jazz Currents, we'll celebrate what would have been the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. Miles had a career that spanned over 50 years, including over 100 albums as a leader, and he was a primary voice in many of the important developments in jazz history. In our third episode, we'll hear Davis explore his modal concept, additional collaborations with arranger Gil Evans, and we've got music from one of the best-selling jazz albums of all time. In our last episode, we listened to the music from the first great Miles Davis quintet with John Coltrane, Red Garland, Paul Chambers, and Philly Joe Jones. Even though this group enjoyed a great deal of success as a result of the numerous recordings released on Prestige Records, Miles had to fire Coltrane and Jones in 1957 as their drug habits had gotten severely out of control. So Miles began to experiment with different personnel, including drummers Jimmy Cobb and Art Taylor, saxophonist Sonny Rollins and Bobby Jasper, and pianist Tommy Flanagan. Meanwhile, Coltrane went on to play with pianist Thelonious Monk and soon kicked his habit. So after Miles heard the now clean-living Coltrane with Monk, he asked him to come back to the band. By the end of 1957, Miles had asked both Coltrane and Jones to rejoin the band, now with the addition of alto saxophonist Julian Cannonball Adderley. Miles remembered when Cannonball heard Coltrane solo for the first time, he just stood there with his mouth open and could not believe what Coltrane was playing. Miles had a concept for this sextet that combined the blues-rooted alto playing of Cannonball and the more harmonic and free-form playing of Coltrane. Miles had also been inspired by a dance performance he'd attended with the Ballet African from Guinea and the modal style of composer George Russell. This modal concept is based on modes or scales, as opposed to the bebop concept based on harmony and chords. Modal music allows for long sections to center around one scale. This gives the improviser opportunity to explore and stretch out without having to resolve at the end of each phrase. In early 1958, the sextet with Miles, Coltrane, Cannonball, Red Garland, Paul Chambers, and Philly Joe Jones recorded two sessions for the upcoming album, Milestones. Let's hear the title track, which is also known by musicians as The New Milestones or simply Miles. 1 month after Milestones was finished, Cannonball Adderley went into the studio for Blue Note Records with his own band. This included pianist Hank Jones, bassist Sam Jones, drummer Art Blakey, and Miles Davis. This was a unique situation because after 1955, Miles only appeared on a few albums as a sideman. And this Cannonball record called Something Else is one of them. Here's a tune by Cannonball's brother, cornetist Nat Adderley. Here is One for Daddy-O. Miles continued to work with his band, and during 1958, Miles hired a new piano player named Bill Evans. Now, Evans was influenced by European classical music, and he brought a new sound to the group. Miles added him to the sextet of Cannonball, Coltrane, Chambers, and now Washington, D.C. drummer Jimmy Cobb. In May, they recorded an album that was released as Miles 58 Sessions. Additionally, Miles had recently fallen in love with dancer Frances Taylor, and this is a tune he wrote for her called Fran Dance. Miles' new love interest, Frances Taylor, continued to influence him musically. He'd seen her in the production of Porgy and Bess, and this became the impetus for his next Gil Evans project. Using the music originally created by George Gershwin for Porgy and Bess, Gil Evans then created arrangements with a large ensemble that set Miles up for long sections of improvisation. Let's hear a bit of Summertime. Thank you. with pianist Bill Evans, Miles Sextet toured a bit and recorded 58 sessions live at Newport and recorded with French composer Michel Legrand. However, Evans was not in the band for long, and he went on to pursue his own trio projects. But he left quite an impression on Miles and his music. At the same time, Coltrane and Cannonball were beginning to pursue other work as leaders as well. So, in an attempt to keep the band together, Miles, Coltrane, and Cannonball began sharing a booking agent. This way, their performances would not conflict with each other. To replace Bill Evans, Miles hired the Jamaican-born pianist Wynton Kelly. Miles said that Kelly was actually a combination of Bill Evans and Red Garland, and he was a perfect fit at this time for Miles. But Miles had been planning to record again, and this new project had been conceptualized around the sound of Bill Evans. So, in March of 1959, Bill Evans came back to record, along with Coltrane, Cannonball, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb, and Wynton Kelly on one tune. The new music on the album, Kinda Blue, was influenced by European classical composers like Ravel and Rachmaninoff, and a bit of gospel music too. There was a lot of inspiration from the African dance and the sound of African thumb piano that Miles had heard earlier. Because Miles wanted a real sense of spontaneity on this recording, he simply brought musical sketches to the studio. There was no rehearsing, and every song that you hear on the album is a first take. This new music was completely modal and solidified the concept he'd begun to experiment with on the earlier Milestones album. The simplicity of this modal concept created clarity and seemed to embody the spirit of jazz and the possibilities for discovery. This landmark recording called Kind of Blue has sold millions of albums and has been regarded by many critics and fans as the greatest jazz album of all time. It continues to be one of the top-selling jazz albums over 50 years later. From the 1959 album Kind of Blue, this is So What. In September of 1959, despite the success of Kind of Blue, Cannonball left the band to continue his own music, and Miles felt he needed to take a break for a while. That was until he heard the music of Joaquin Rodrigo. A friend introduced Miles to Concerto de Aranjuez and encouraged him to record something along those lines. Miles loved the music and quickly went to work by contacting Gil Evans, who began to make his own arrangements of the Rodrigo Concerto. Other pieces that were to be recorded was an arrangement of ballet music from Manuel de Falla, as well as a traditional Spanish tune and two songs composed by Evans that were based on Spanish folk tunes. Blending jazz, European classical, and Spanish music, this album included a large ensemble, and it's aptly titled Sketches of Spain. From 1960, let's hear a bit of Solía. During this time, Davis' small group continued to go through personnel changes because John Coltrane had quit to pursue his own music. Both Jimmy Heath and Sonny Stitt spent time in the band, but when saxophonist Hank Mobley came aboard, the group went right into the studio to record a new album. Hank Mobley, Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, and Jimmy Cobb, the Miles Davis Quintet, recorded the album Someday My Prince Will Come. This also featured John Coltrane on two songs. This was an exceptional time because the recording process was changing. Producer Tio Macero had begun to experiment with splicing tape. So on this album, the horns actually recorded some of their solos after the rhythm section had recorded their parts. Here's the title track, and a well-known tune from Disney's Snow White. Live at the Black Hawk happens to be one of my all-time favorite records, partly because the rhythm section of Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, and Jimmy Cobb swing like their life depends on it. And it's great to hear four sets of music over the course of two nights at the same club. From Live at the Black Hawk, this is a tune called No Blues. As his star continued to rise, Miles had just received an award from Downbeat Magazine for Best Trumpeter, and Ebony Magazine published a 7-page spread of pictures with his family and friends at his new house. But despite all of the success, Miles was not happy with the music. He was also suffering from sickle cell anemia and was experiencing painful arthritis in his joints. He was depressed, and he was starting to use more cocaine. He was discontented and restless. But his music was about to head somewhere that Miles had yet to conceive. Join us next time for our fourth of 5 episodes celebrating the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. We'll hear extensive music from his legendary 1960s quintet featuring Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, and Tony Williams.
I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events. And make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.